Good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Yahshua, our Messiah. The name of this program is Cross the Border. The intent of the name is to spread the gospel through the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom, bidding you all to cross the border into that kingdom, into the kingdom of heaven, and live forever. There is no other name given under heaven whereby men might be saved than Yahshua. Though they call him Jesus in the West, still there is no other name than the name of our Creator and His salvation. Last time we left off, we had started in the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 6, about verse 3, of course, talking about doing alms. The scribes, the Pharisees, the hypocrites, they stand in the synagogues and in the streets, and they sound a trumpet before themselves when they're going to do a great thing. And you see them out there today. They make checks as big as a poster so they can hold it up for the world to see when they're giving something. You've all seen that picture on the TV. That's like sounding a trumpet. We're going to do this good deed. Look how much we're giving. You know, and then they'll have the check and who it's made out to and how much the check is for. Well, it's not the real check. It's a trumpet of a check. You know what I'm talking about. Anyway, Yahshua, our master, he said, don't do that. Don't sound a trumpet. Because guess what? You have your reward. Everybody saw you holding up your big check. Everybody saw you giving. And that's all you get. That's your reward. Ha ha. What an empty reward. Yes, I would rather, you know, well, let's heed the words. Let's read on. But when you do your alms, that is your giving to the poor or however you give, when you do your alms, and I'll read it in out of the King James Version here, but when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth. Now, certainly, sounding a trumpet or making a big check to show the world how you're giving goes way beyond letting your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Now, when you do your alms, do them in secret. Don't be as the hypocrites. Don't let your right hand know what your left hand is doing. And how about if those of you that give so that you can take advantage of the tax deductions on your 1040 inquisition form? Ah, yes. Well, do you have your reward? Well, because that goes way beyond left and right hand too. I mean, you know, basically, if you give, you know, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, means don't even pat yourself on the back for it. Don't go home and boast to your family how great you guys are because you gave this or that. Because that's close. Left hand, right hand. Your left hand and your right hand, that's close. You're not to let your boasting, you're not to do the boasting, you're not to sound a trumpet, you're not to let your left hand right know what your right hand is doing. And you're certainly not to fill out a 1040 inquisition form to let the inquisitors know what you're doing so that you can have benefits. Of course, they give you benefits if you tell on yourself, because that's how they draw everyone in, by benefits. Well, they got the churches to give up their sovereign status under God, and now they're not sovereign anymore over anything. They're sovereign under the state, which is under God. But not really. They have two masters because they place the state at an equal status, benefits, and that's why they went for it. And I can tell you all that, you know, some many years ago, when I got it into my brain that I wanted to enter into ministry and serve my Heavenly Father and spread the gospel message because it was a powerful force in my life, and eternal life seemed like a pretty good thing, especially knowing that how short life is and how fleeting all the things that come with this life are and how we can't hold on to them, I wanted to, it seemed fairly important to me that even if I spent the rest of my life sitting behind this microphone or preaching the gospel message in whatever form, and only one person got saved, and I endured till the end, and one person was saved for eternity from damnation, that would make it worthwhile if only one was saved, because that one would be saved forever. That's right, forever. So I determined that when I started doing this work, it didn't matter how many people were listening. It didn't matter how many people were being reached. It didn't matter the numbers, how many people were going to be saved, because I would never boast. Because, of course, I'm not going to let my left hand know what my right hand's doing. I'm certainly not going to write a sound a trumpet or write a big card or a news article telling how many people were saved at my last crusade. You get my message. It's the same thing. It's boasting about your good works. You have your reward. So don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. And here, Yahshua, he continues, but don't do your alms. Do your alms in secret, that your Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward you openly. Well, you know what? I'll believe that. I don't need to sound a trumpet. I don't need to bake a big card. Now, I guess that works in the world. They go, oh, well, we ought to give to those people because look at that big check, you know, that they gave to whoever. And then you got all the goody two-shoes. They got the TV programs where they, whoever has the, you know, the saddest, most tragical story gets to have a new house. They move in and they tear down their old house and send them to Disneyland for a week, and they come back and they got a new house. And, you know, you know, tragic as some of these stories are, and as, well, I don't know about deserving as some of these people may or may not be, what I see is I see that most of these people have brought those things upon themselves by not living according to God's law. That's right. And they got all tangled up with pharmakia and the medical gods of the age. And so they've ended up trusting in man. And of course, then man comes to the rescue. There are these good works shows and programs and stuff. And they reward these people that with a new home. But, you know, I'm certain they would never reward me because I'm not politically correct. I don't think that Eisner crowd at Disneyland would give me a second look. That's for sure. They'd run away screaming because they hate free speech. They like controlled speech. That's for sure. So they, anyway, and they trumpet it before the world how great they are and what they do, and they make lots of money at it too. A lot of money on promotions and commercial advertising. Enough to pay for that show, pay all those people just fantastic salaries. And they get to go on the air and pretend like they're really doing something good when it's a great job and they're getting paid really well for it. Now, I don't believe it for a minute. And they have their reward, basically. That's it. They have their reward. Everyone gets their reward. So when we do our alms, we'll do it in secret. And our Father who sees in secret himself shall reward thee openly. You should go out of your way to conceal your giving. That's right. And know that I just want my Father, because I want my reward to come from him. Let him reward me openly for my good works, for my giving. Let him reward me. I don't want a reward that's going to fade away with this short existence, this short mortal existence that we live here. I don't want that kind of reward. That's worthless to me. You know, the you can't take it with you stuff. Verse 5, continuing along the same vein, Yahshua says, and when you pray, you shall not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. For verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Yeah, well, I see them on the TV and I've seen some of them even pray to Satan. You know who I'm talking about. Those guys that get up there, you know, and they'll pontificate all the these and thous and make a really holy sounding prayer. Hey, you know they're doing it to be heard of men. And, you know, sometimes it's appropriate to pray with the hearers in mind so that they can join you in that prayer. But you can always tell. There are people who pontificate prayers and they talk with Holy Ghost hiccups and stuff that they've been conditioned with by the crowds that they've been hanging out with. And they use a lot of these and thous. They don't pray in the same language that they converse with other people every day. They put on their holy language so that they sound real holy. And they're going, oh, thank you, Jesus, for all these people listening that are going to send me a $1,000, $10 each. And usually that's they're after your pocketbook. And then they'll go on and they'll start talking. They'll switch their gears and they'll start talking. But you, Satan, and they'll start praying to Satan, basically. Because, when we pray to God, our Heavenly Father, well, we're talking to Him. And if we're talking to Satan, ain't we praying to Him? I take my example from Yahshua, our Master, when He said, get thee hence, Satan. And I'll let the conversation in there. I'm not going to start trying to boss Satan around as if I'm something. So you can recognize some bad theology when someone starts praying or starts talking to Satan in the middle of a prayer. Or at least some great pontification. Look how great I am. I can talk to God and I can boss Satan around. There you go. So when we pray, we're not to be like that. They love to pray standing in public in the synagogues and the churches and the corners of the streets that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. I can't judge everyone that does a public prayer, but, let us all judge ourselves and let us all judge ourselves righteously. I'd say the people who do these things, they don't bother judging themselves. Because if they did, they would probably shut up if they judged themselves righteously, that they had no need to be judged. Verse 6. But when you pray, okay, we've read that. We've read verse 6. So the Father's going to reward us who sees, we're to pray to our Father, shut the door. But when you pray, enter into your closet, and when you have shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward you openly. But when you pray, use not vain repetition. I have nothing against any people of any denominations or of any religious cults or any other religion, such as Islam or, the Catholic cult. I've met some wonderful people. I've been treated, when I was orphaned as a child and placed under state custody because my wicked uncle wouldn't do his duty under God's law as a family member and take me and my brother and my sister in. Granted, it's a big thing, but if you're trusting in the Heavenly Father, you do what's right in His sight, you know that He'll provide. But He turned us all over to the state. And after many years in state custody, in various homes, and finally in a Catholic home, doesn't mean I'm Catholic, never made a profession of faith. I don't even think I ever went to a confession, because I never understood it somehow. I was in that Catholic home, going to that Catholic church at the weekly, and you know what? Nothing ever penetrated my mind of religion. It's amazing to me when I sit back and think about it, because at 19 years old, when I came to the knowledge of the truth by reading the Bible, shortly before that, I didn't know who God was, didn't know that God had a son, and didn't know that, He shed His blood for me. I knew nothing at all, and so it just amazes me that I could spend several years in a Catholic home going to Catholic Mass and knowing nothing at all about it, having no clue who God was, that He had a son that was named Jesus, or let alone His true name, Yahshua, that He died for me, That it, I find that just simply amazing. But I guess the more I learn about Catholicism, not really being Catholic, but only wearing a thin veil of Christianity, having an appearance of godliness, but being totally pagan underneath. And this verse here in Matthew goes to that. And I don't mean to offend anybody, because I had some wonderful Catholics that took me into their family and made me one of their family, still dragged me to Mass every Sunday, and I still never got anything out of it, even though I went for years. I was never a Catholic, ever. I'm not sure if I was baptized when I was a baby. I may have been, probably was. I don't remember it, of course. I have no baptismal records or anything. And so being born a Catholic, being born into a religion is nothing. Because the scripture says that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. And what that means is you can't be born into his kingdom by flesh and blood. You cannot be born into the kingdom of God. You may be born a Protestant. You may be born a Baptist. You may be born Islamic. You may be born Catholic. You may be born all of these things, but you cannot be born into the kingdom of God. That's the word of God. That's not my word. But here it is. Yahshua. He says, but when you pray, he's continuing on his instruction for prayer here. Use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. In other words, the more they pray, the more they think they're going to be heard. So, you know, do your 10 Hail Marys. No, that's pagan. That's heathen. You know, that just shows you one more indication of how idolatry has been fully embraced by the Roman Catholic Church. Though most people in the church, they don't realize, because they're not taught to read the Bible. Because if they read the Bible, well, they would read this verse and many other verses that teach against the very things that are going on in the Catholic religion. So read the Bible for yourself. You know, I only have one desire, that you enter into his kingdom. Like I said, you may have been born into, you know, whatever kingdom you were born into on earth. You may be born an American. You may be born a Catholic. Of course, the Catholicism is another kingdom. It's the kingdom of the Vatican, the Rome, because the Vatican is its own nation, really, and it's a religious nation. And so if you're a Catholic, well, there's a conflict there. You have a, practically, speaking, you have a dual citizenship. Because the Vatican is recognized as a separate nation. If your papa, your governmental father, so to speak, your pope, is sitting over there in another nation, and he's the head of this little nation over there, then you have pretty much a dual citizenship. Things to consider. But there you go. The vain repetition, the repeating Hail Marys and just vainly saying prayers over, even doing the Our Father, if you're doing it as like a mantra or something like that, you know, and you're just repeating it vainly without considering the words, without, you know, tasting those words and meaning every one of them, you know, because it's a good prayer. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Yes! Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Cross the border into his kingdom. How do you do that? You do that through the process of repentance. You enter into his kingdom. Flesh and blood can't inherit that kingdom. If you're born a Catholic, it doesn't mean you're automatically in his kingdom. It does not even mean that you're going to go to heaven when you die. Because if you're not in his kingdom now, if you're not in the kingdom of heaven where he is your God, where he is your lawgiver, and you're striving, you know, with all of your heart to do only the things that please him, because, you know, our Heavenly Father's not a tyrant. He forces no one to stay in his kingdom, and he forces no one to keep his law. That's right. Nobody is forced. That's why you can go out there and sin your whole life. You can do terrible things to your neighbor, and you can hate God and blaspheme Him, His Son, and His Holy Spirit with your lips, because He doesn't use force. He's looking for volunteers to enter His kingdom. Flesh and blood can't inherit it. You can't be born into it. Only those who desire to please Him will enter His kingdom. Only those who desire with a whole heart. It doesn't mean that you're going to be perfect. It doesn't mean that you're able to please Him all the time. It means you desire, and when you do that which is wrong, that you allow His Holy Spirit to convict you and to correct you and write that correction in the form of His law upon the tablet of your heart, that He might be your God and you might be His people. So don't use vain repetition. Throw that off. Read the word for yourself. Matthew chapter 6, verse 7. Don't be like the heathen, for they think that they will heard by their much repetition, by much speaking. You know, our Heavenly Father is not impressed because you've memorized a prayer and you can say it over and over and over. What kind of God would that be? No, He's not interested in that at all. He's interested in those that truly want to please Him. So if you want to please Him, if you want to live a life that's pleasing to Him, and you allow His Holy Spirit to convict you and correct you and teach you obedience to Him, then you're good. You're in His kingdom. But if you don't, if you think you can get by on vain repetition, if you think you can get by on confession, if you think your birth into whatever religion is good enough, then you're out. You're not in His kingdom. He's looking for volunteers to do it His way according to His word. In verse 8, be not ye therefore like unto them. And that is the heathen, vain repetition. For your Father knows the what things you have need of before you ask Him. You know, I mean, there's a God worthy of my worship. A God who knows what I have need of before I ask. Any other God would be a weak God. Yes, I'm talking about the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Yahshua, His Son, made a way, gave us the grace to enter into the throne room and boldly ask what we will. I'll be back in a few minutes. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Cross the Border.